Well, from the studios of Grand Forks, Best Source in the Grand Cities Mall, it's Friday, everybody. And it's time for your Berkshire Hathaway bi-weekly podcast. Standing by in the studio with us this morning, realty expert Caitlin Ramseth is here, and we'll be talking with Caitlin in just a minute.
What would tomorrow look like if you sold your house today? Maybe you'd move to a new city or a new country. Maybe you'd pick up birding or birdies. You could get into wine, not that into wine, or skiing, warmer skiing. Or maybe you'd spend more time doing nothing at all. When you're ready for whatever comes next, we'll be ready to help you get there. Berkshire Hathaway Home Services.
All right, we are back with your Berkshire Hathaway bi-weekly podcast. In the studio, realty expert Caitlin Ramseth. How are you today?
I am good. Happy Friday.
Happy Friday. You got big plans for the weekend?
I work this weekend.
Oh, you work this weekend?
I have a showing on Saturday, and then I'm part of a volleyball league now, so I get to play volleyball on Sunday.
Did you play volleyball in high school?
No.
Oh, you didn't? You're just doing it.
Yeah, and I'm not very good at it.
Okay. You know, we talked on Wednesday about 10 truths on becoming a realtor, and one of them was flexible schedule, saying, you know, it's really nice. You can come and go as you want to, but you also are on call all the time, and right there, you're proving it. You got to work tomorrow.
I do. When the work is there, you got to go and work.
Absolutely. They're not going to come begging for you to just put money in your pocket, are they?
No.
No.
Unfortunately.
Yeah. We talked about the truths of becoming a realtor on Wednesday. Now, you want to talk a little bit about debt.
Yes.
There is such thing as good debt, believe it or not, but most people think debt is bad.
Mm-hmm.
So is all debt bad?
Well, it's not. And we're going to find out why.
Okay.
Okay. So starting out, when most people like myself, when we grew up, we were told to go to school, mm-hmm. get good grades, get a good job that's going to pay your bills
sure.
and have good benefits, mm-hmm. right? So I did all those steps. I went to school. I got decent grades, not the
good
best
enough.
Grades,
yeah.
but you know, decent grades.
Uh-huh.
I got a job. First job was teaching and I loved it. But I realized when I was working that I was missing something. You know, my paychecks were paying my bills,
mm-hmm.
you know, but I was missing something and I wanted wealth, mm-hmm. not just a job. And
not
I wanted,
just getting by.
Exactly. Because I was living paycheck to paycheck and I wanted a way to set up, you know, generational wealth and mm-hmm. wealth for my future.
Sure.
So one day I was told to read a book called Rich Dad, Poor Dad. And this book changed my entire mindset on everything. And the author of this book is Robert, the last name's hard. It's Kiyosaki or something like that.
Okay.
I don't know. But Rich Dad, Poor Dad, if you Google it, it pops up. So this book changed everything about I ever knew. The author of this book, he talks about wealthy people, real estate, but he's a very big advocate on financial education.
Mm-hmm.
And it's something that growing up in school, they don't really teach us about, you know, anything like that. They tell you to save your money in a savings account,
mm-hmm.
and that's pretty much it. Get a good job, you'll be set for life.
Yep.
But this author, he's a big advocate on, you know, financial education because we need to learn, we need to know about it.
Right.
There's so much out there that we need to know. So basically this author, he kind of describes money as water and he describes it like the money is constantly flowing. And I think that's a really good analogy. And he says, you know, it's like water, it's constantly flowing. You have to work for your money. But every day money is getting printed. It's
mm-hmm.
always there.
Right.
Money is infinite. And that was like, okay, so I'm working every day. I'm working my 9-to-5 job. I'm working so hard, but it was a salary job. And I was like, I'm getting paid the same no matter how hard I work.
Right, right.
I want to change that.
Mm-hmm.
And that's kind of what led me to real estate. Because this author, you know, he's talking about the wealthiest people in the world own real estate. And I was like, wait a minute. They didn't teach me this in high school. What's real estate? So that's where I went out and I learned as much as I could about real estate. And this book really changed my mind on that. So he talks about there's debt. The word debt in our society is looked at as such a negative word. You know, I remember the first day I got my first credit card and everyone was like, don't rack up debt, only pay gas and then pay it off right away. Like, you don't want to have debt. But what I didn't know is that there are two types of debt. There's good debt and there's bad debt. So we'll kind of go into what those are.
Okay.
Okay. So good debt is things like assets. It's money that's going into your pocket.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. That's mm-hmm. good debt. Bad debt is the opposite. So this would be like liabilities. It's money that's getting taken out of your pocket. Okay. So we'll start with some examples of bad debt first, because this is what most people have.
Sure.
Myself included. So bad debt is going to be things like your credit card payments,
mm-hmm.
Your car payments.
Yep.
If you have any boats or campers. So it's anything that you have a loan on that you're paying monthly for,
mm-hmm.
and interest on the loan too. We love interest.
Yeah, oh yeah, yeah.
I'm not even going to get started on interest, but so those are examples of bad debt. So pretty much everybody has some sort of bad debt.
Oh, sure.
If you don't, you're pretty lucky.
Yeah. But
good debt examples. The best example I can give you is like real estate, so mm-hmm. a house. And I know this is kind of controversial, because some people say that owning a house is an asset. Some people say it's a liability, but it depends how you use it.
Sure.
So having it be a liability, an example would be like if you went out and bought like a $900,000 house, and you're paying your monthly mortgage on it, you're paying your utilities on it, you're paying, you know, the insurance that mm-hmm. comes with it. It's money that's constantly coming out of your pocket each month. An asset for a house would be like if you went out and bought like a fixer-upper. Mm-hmm. So maybe a $150,000 house, you put some money into it, fixed it up, and now you're going to rent it out. So you're going to actually have a tenant pay your mortgage for you,
because mm-hmm.
you're charging them rent.
Mm-hmm.
So they're paying the mortgage for you. They're paying your utilities for you, you know, all that stuff. So it, that way it is an asset, you know, and it's controversial, because your house, it's, you're gaining equity in it. Mm-hmm. So like no matter what, you're kind of, you're gaining money off of it. So it's controversial. So it can go either way, depending on how you use the house. Okay. So this author, you know, he's talking about the most wealthiest people in the world, and they own real estate, and they're using other people's money. So they're leveraging other people's money to get rich. And essentially how they're doing that is real estate. So they're buying properties, they're renting them out to tenants, and the tenants are essentially paying the mortgage.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
Smart, right?
Yeah. I mean, you got money making money.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. It's like, I don't know why they didn't teach me this in high school,
yeah.
because I would have went right into this,
yeah.
you know? Like, that sounds so easy. And you always hear, like, work smarter, not harder.
Yeah.
Yeah. But there was another example he used, which was really interesting, and I never thought about it before. Maybe because in Grand Forks, we don't really need to do this. He lives in New York,
mm-hmm.
and there's not many, like, you don't really have to drive. So, like, not a lot of people own cars in New York.
Sure.
But what he does, so essentially a way to get rid of your bad debt is turn all your liabilities into an asset. So for his car payment, he would rent out his car to let people drive it in New York.
Okay.
So, you know, his car payment's probably like $200, let's just say.
Okay.
He would charge them double. So he would charge $400 to rent his car. So not only are these people paying his car payment, but he's also pocketing $200 from every person who rents his car.
Right.
So if you add that up, it's like, okay.
Yeah, brilliant.
You don't even have to work. Like, just rent your car out.
That's a great idea.
I know, right? So, yeah, I mean, essentially, there's so many ways to turn your liabilities into assets, and how to, you know, there's different ways. So my biggest advice is if you're someone young who wants to start out with maybe investing in real estate, and maybe you know you're not going to get pre-approved for it, I would suggest starting out by reading the Rich Dad, Poor Dad book,
mm-hmm.
and then find ways. Now, this is, we could go on and on about this.
Sure.
There's so many ways to go about it, but find ways to leverage other people's money. Okay. So you got to get creative with your financing. Mm-hmm. But my biggest advice is to start out with reading the Rich Dad, Poor Dad book. There's so many real estate podcasts out there too, to get started on it. But yeah, it's a crazy topic, and I didn't ever know about it until I read Rich Dad, Poor Dad.
So how old are you?
I am going to be 26 here in December.
Okay. I was going to say you're wise beyond your years by talking to you. You seem like, you've been around the block a lot about this kind of stuff. I didn't want that to sound the wrong way.
Well, yeah, but the crazy thing is I just learned all of this
like
my last 2 years.
Wow. Wow.
So I know it's crazy.
You know, that's something, my wife, she does a lot of research on this same stuff. And mm-hmm. she says, you know, we got to start, you got to find a way to have your money make money for you.
Exactly.
So you don't have to work to do it. Have your money make the money for you.
Right.
And I'm constantly looking for ways to do that because, well, I'm lazy and I'm getting old. So it'd be nice.
I know. So an example for me. So I'm pretty young. I don't have any kids or anything. So it was really easy for me to do this. So anyone who's young that maybe wants to get started in it. So what I did is I bought my first house. It's a 4-bedroom house. And I was okay with the idea of having roommates. Mm-hmm. So I rent out my 3 other bedrooms in my house to roommates. Mm-hmm. So they're helping pay my mortgage.
Right, right.
So it's kind of like house hacking in a sense. So a lot of people will, you know, they'll buy like a duplex and they'll live in one unit of it and they'll rent out the other unit. Mm-hmm. That's another idea to get started as well.
So was it hard for you to find good roommates? Are they good roommates? Do you all get along? Were they friends of yours beforehand?
Friends, family. So I know like they're trustworthy because that's one thing a lot of people are scared to rent out to bad tenants. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of just, you know, picking the ones that you know are going to be good tenants to start because you don't want to ruin the whole idea just by having one bad tenant.
So do you have any pets between the four of you?
2 dogs and 1 cat.
And everything's fine.
It's fine. Oh, the 2 dogs are mine, so I'm really responsible at taking care of them, cleaning up after them. And the cat just sleeps. So
yeah, cats. I got 3 cats and 2 dogs. I know all about them. So, you know, not all debt is bad. Mm-hmm. You know, you can look at it as, you know, I'm in debt. I owe this and I owe that. But like you just explained, not all debt is bad. You know, what about like if you've got a $400,000 house that's paid for. What do you consider that?
I consider
good debt or bad debt or how would that? Because you still got to pay,
right?
You know, your utilities, your insurance, all the things like the insurance that was on the mortgage before. Mm-hmm. Things you don't realize, but isn't that kind of what you work your way to?
Yeah, and you know, a lot of times when you know people want to hang on to their house and they're not sure what they want to do with it because it's already paid off. Mm-hmm. You know, my biggest suggestion, like even though I'm a real estate agent and I want to help people sell their house, if it's a right circumstance, I'm going to say rent it out. Because if you hang on to that house and you rent it out, you're going to gain money in your pocket. Mm-hmm. You're going to cash flow the money into your pocket if you can rent it out.
Mm-hmm.
So
okay. Well,
but you know, the typical person, they probably need to sell their house in order to buy a new one.
Yeah.
So it kind of just depends on your circumstance.
Sure. You know, it's funny because you spend the majority of your life getting bigger and better houses and then it comes to the point where it's like, well, we've got too much house. Now it's time to start downsizing again.
Right. It kind of comes full circle.
It does. You are a realty expert now. I'm convinced of it, Caitlin. And if somebody wants to get a hold of realty expert Caitlin Ramseth, how do they do that?
The best way to get a hold of me is my number by phone. It's 320-267-6692.
And you've got to work tomorrow, which is a bummer.
Yeah.
And you're playing volleyball on Sunday.
I will be, yep.
Are you a Minnesota Vikings fan?
I am.
Good for you. All right. I'm looking forward to it. It's going to be, what, 3 more weeks? 4 more weeks, a month before we get to see you again.
Yeah.
All right.
Hopefully there's still no snow by then.
Yeah, wouldn't that be nice? Yeah. Oh, a month from now, no snow.
I know.
All right, there you go. You know the phone number. If you want to get a hold of Berkshire Hathaway Realty Expert Caitlin Ramseth, 320-267-6692. And again, we will see Caitlin in about a month. Until then, you guys all have yourself a wonderful weekend.